Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. I am Todd Sumney, the Chief Industry Officer for HomeSmart, and I am very excited about the guest that I have with us today. We are going to have an anonymous guest with us today, and today's topic is about younger home buyers and what their experience is like. And today it's Younger Home Buyers Anonymous. It's an anonymous interview with a young home buyer, and I want him to tell us about his journey, his goals, what the process was like, and I want to add insight to you, all of you, to be able to help you serve younger home buyers by learning from him and from his experience and just sharing the knowledge of what just happened. So thank you to our anonymous guest for joining us here today. Thank you for being on The Real Estate.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Gonna start real quick with how recently did you purchase a home? About 3 weeks ago?
Right? Yeah, just about a month ago I closed.
About a month ago. Okay. So let's start with some key data points, some key information here about your experience. Tell me a little bit about the property that you purchased. How many square feet? Number of bedrooms, bathrooms, does it have a garage, et cetera?
Yeah, definitely. So the property is a multifamily duplex, two bed, one bath each side. In total, the square footage is just about 1,500, one unit being slightly over 900 square feet and the other a little closer to 800 square feet. So they're almost identical. One is just slightly larger than the other, same footprint, same floor plan. Just the other one has slightly more square footage in the front. There's a carport in the rear. They both have individual backyards with turf. It's all been renovated fairly recently, updated with white cabinets, laminate countertops, nice wood flooring.
Nice.
All that, yeah.
Okay. So individual backyards, so it's got some sort of fencing or something in between.
Yep. They're divided.
Right? Okay, yep. Divided. Grass in the backyard.
Turf.
That's what I heard. Yep. Turf.
Yeah.
So artificial turf. Yep. No watering.
Yep.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it is. Same with the front yard. Front yard has a turf walkway up to both units.
Okay.
They have individual walkways up to the front porch and then two separate entrances.
Okay, so a main living area, a kitchen, one bedroom, one bath?
Two bed, one bath.
Two bedroom, one bath.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Each unit has two bedrooms.
Correct.
Okay, all right. One story or two story?
One story.
One story.
They're side-by-side units.
Side-by-side units, mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of roof?
Gable.
Like not a flat roof?
No.
It's a... Okay.
So the carport has a flat roof, and then the actual units themselves have a gable slanted asphalt roof.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. So, all right. Remember, this is anonymous, so don't say anything to give away your identity or anything. But what is around the ballpark of the price point that you purchased?
So it's right around... like mid fives.
Okay. Mid five. So in a sense, 2.5 per unit in a sense, but it's one purchase, right?
One structure.
If you're thinking of it that way.
Yes.
Right. Okay. That's great. Okay. All right. Interest rate at closing.
It was right around 6.49.
Did you lock in ahead of time?
I did.
Okay. I'm going to get the particulars down and then I'm going to dig in some and ask some questions. But so you locked in ahead of time, percentage wise, how much of a down payment did you put down?
So with my current, income, I was quite limited with how much I could get financed. So to qualify for that property in particular, I had to put 20% down.
Okay.
Since financing wouldn't be approved for anything higher than that.
Right.
Right. So yeah, right at 20%.
Okay, so 20%. So you saved up a chunk.
Mm-hmm.
How long had you been saving?
So I've been saving just over 2.5 years, but I did have some assistance with the down payment from family.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's part of what's going on right now. Did you, so assistance from families, were these loans? Were they gifts? Were they, is it co-ownership or is it you're owning it on your own? How'd you do that?
Right. So the way we went into the deal is a bit of a co-ownership, co-op
Okay.
opportunity. So whenever we go to sell the property, refinance, what that be, we have our own stake of ownership in the property, so
Okay, now
split.
see, that's why I love having you here today because I've been talking with agents about this and several mortgage professionals as well that there are that this is becoming more and more common. So like for example, if the family helped with 10% of the down payment, then the family owns 10% of the home. And then someday, let's just say it doubles in price, they're 10% doubled and you're 90% doubled, right? And everybody, it's an investment for everyone. So love, okay, you're shaking your head. Yes, I love that. Okay. So, all right. So duplex, most young people, I guess maybe that's generalizing. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people often think just of home buying just as buying a home,
Right.
one property, and then I'm going to buy an investment property later. How were you drawn to a duplex and where did that idea come from?
So there's this community out there, and it's pretty popular within the investment sort of realm called Bigger Pockets.
Okay.
And there's a large, it's, I mean, you can equate it to like a Facebook group for real estate professionals specifically targeted at investments.
Okay.
So I joined that when COVID hit. I got very into investments, the stock market, and real estate came up as one of the good investment options long term. It's a wealth builder. You can make a lot of money, you can lose a lot of money, but in the long term, prices continue to increase, and that's a good place to put your money in if you have money in the first place, obviously, because
Okay.
they are quite a big expense.
Right.
But over time, the returns are good. So I started doing my research there, and I saw the word multifamily being thrown around. And there's this type of investment that people like to coin a house hack, where you live in one unit, rent out the other, and that way it offsets your mortgage payment. So I started looking into that a bit more, and I found that a good way to kind of offset my living expenses while also generating some sort of return on my money in the long term, and then potentially down the road, moving out of that, buying another, live in one unit, rent out the other, and just keep building my portfolio of properties, not selling any single one, but just renting out continuously and expanding.
So for you, this is the start of a real estate investment over life, a
Yes.
lifetime.
Yep.
This is and it has piqued your interest and you've researched it and that's a goal of yours,
Yes,
building
definitely.
wealth through real estate.
Yes.
So awesome to hear in a young person. I wish I would have done more of that when I was younger. So I commend you for that mindset.
Thank
So
you.
let's dig into a couple other little details and then we'll come back and talk more about the story and et cetera. But rent right now is so expensive. So many young people are paying an awful lot in rent and then they have difficulty because their rents are going up and rent is so scarce. They're even having trouble rent being increased, so they're having trouble saving. And it also, though, rent increasing is irritating them because rent, the interest rate on rent is 100%. We talk
Right.
about it all the time.
Right.
So they know they want to purchase. They just they need to get there and get there while we're renting. So prior to purchasing, what percentage of your income went toward rent? Or another way to answer the question is, are you paying a higher percentage now owning? Are you paying the same are you paying less than what you were paying in rent?
Right. So at the moment, I'm spending more than what I'm projected to spend on rent with my new property. Right now, I spend about 23% of my take-home income.
Okay.
And with the new property, I'll be spending right around 16%.
Okay.
So a lower rental price, depending on if the strategy I'm going after as my rental will work out.
Okay, so hang on, say that again. When you were renting before, you were saying you were paying about
23%
of your income went toward rent.
Correct.
So now you're paying a little more than 23%, but when you rent out the property, the other half, that's going to drop. And you're saying that's going to drop to around what?
16%.
16%. Mm-hmm. So you're actually going to be paying less than you're paying in rent right now, or than you were paying in rent before. But you're building wealth because of the income coming in from the rental.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So very smart on your part. That's awesome to hear. Okay. So, all right. Let's go back to the beginning. When did you think you wanted to purchase instead of rent? Was it one day listening or reading something on that Facebook group or listening to a podcast or conversation with a parent, a rent increase notice? What was it?
Yeah. So
what's your trigger?
It's kind of like compounded on itself over the years.
Okay.
So not originally, I wasn't really interested in real estate. Like I saw prices going up, like, oh, I'm never going to be able to afford something like that. And then COVID hit. And you see, like, the market is just in disarray, like, prices are going up, but interest rates are really low, and people are mad dash for properties. And right. That's when I found this Bigger Pockets community and started hearing about all these people's stories doing the same thing, like the house hacks and building wealth through generations, like setting their kids up for success through the properties that they decided to purchase when they were younger. And I really found that attractive. And especially with rent prices continuing to increase, just that opportunity to own something tangible,
right,
and not having that rent, that 100% interest money just disappear. Like, I want to put that into a property, build equity, build wealth, build a portfolio of properties. So COVID really started that off for me and my trajectory.
Okay, so we're in mid-2023 here. So that's roughly a 2.5 year process, or I guess maybe even a 2.5 to 3 year process.
Right, almost three.
Did it happen faster or slower than you thought it would?
I'd say faster.
Faster. I think,
yeah.
So you thought definitely. It was even going to take you a little longer.
Yes.
Okay. I did. Great. How did you bring your family in early on?
So
parents, a mentor, or did you just do it all on your own?
Yeah. So my parents actually have had the thought of buying a rental property in the past, but they didn't know where to start. They didn't have this community of people. They didn't have the time to invest into learning all the ins and outs of real estate. And that's where I jumped in and I said, hey, like, I've been doing all this research. I know how to analyze deals, look at properties, run the numbers. I have an agent that's very familiar with investment. He has his own properties that he runs, Airbnbs, long-term rentals, all that sort of stuff. So I have the tools to help you. If you decide to invest your money with me or help me out, we can go into this deal together.
Okay.
And we can
both start faster.
Exactly.
Sooner.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So you instigated that conversation.
Yes.
That's awesome. How did you get connected to your realtor?
So I found my realtor through this Bigger Pockets community. There's a bunch of tools on there, and one of them is find an agent in your area. So you can type in wherever you're located and it'll come up with a list of all these agents that have either paid to be a pro member. So they're invested in the community. They're giving their money back to the people that they're making their money from.
Okay.
And they have a bio telling them about themselves, and they can list off what kind of properties they're invested in or if they're an investor themselves. So I reached out to about 5 agents or so on there and talked with a few of them. One of them really stuck out to me. He was very well-versed in the investment realm, okay, having owned some properties himself. And we just got talking. He seemed super into it. He had worked with younger people like me get into their first property and kind of just went from there.
Okay. So how did you narrow it down to the five? There's obviously these realtors all over. Like, what about his bio, his information page? Did you go check his social media? Did you check his LinkedIn? Did you do a background check on him? Like, or did you just only go off of the data that was in this Deeper Pockets community?
Right. So, yeah, I went and looked at his socials, saw what he had posted up, make sure he's a real person and not some bot on the internet.
Right.
But, yeah, I did my research on them. Gave him a call.
What attracted you to him, though? I'm just saying, because there's probably, let's just say there's 100 people on Deeper Pockets, too. You had to narrow it down to your five.
Right.
What attracted you to the five? Was it the number of properties that they had? Was it just the amount of, what information had they posted that attracted you?
Right.
To even be on your short list?
So some of that info was number of properties that they themselves invested in, the amount of clients they helped get into properties.
Okay.
So his main thing was he's helped a lot of younger, more entrepreneurial folks get into their first properties doing the same sort of strategies that I'd been looking into. And he was very familiar within the local market. He knew he had a lot of insight into that.
Right. So the thing I love about this is I've for the last couple of years having some discussions with some of my friends and some of my sphere of influence, and the term that keeps popping up a lot is mailbox money, meaning that money that is coming in from into your mailbox on a monthly basis. And what you're doing, this building of real estate investment, you know, I like that word, you know, or that phrase, because you keep doing this, and that's what will happen over your lifetime is the monthly rents coming in.
Yep.
Mailbox money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody write that one down. Write that one down, mailbox money. Okay, so one of my questions was, you know, who did you talk to first, a mortgage company or a realtor? So in your case,
it was my realtor.
It was the realtor.
Yes. Yep.
How did you get connected to the mortgage company that you used?
So funnily enough, I have a friend that works for a mortgage lender, and he's a loan officer. And initially, I did not go that route just because I saw kind of a conflict of interest. Like, yeah, he's my friend. Like, I'm sure he'll help me out, but I don't necessarily want to stick to that. So I went and found other lenders. My agent referred me to some lenders he had worked with, and I reached out to get pre-approval and wanted to see what my purchasing power was, what amount of max financing I could pull out, just because prices around here keep going up, and it's a bit hard to justify what property I can go after without necessarily knowing from a personal matter, without them going through the whole pre-approval process, you submitting your tax returns, W-2s, all that info is pretty in-depth. So I probably spoke to about four lenders in total just to get an idea and interview them if they'd work with investors before, what their pool typically looks like for clients, whether it's first-time home buyers, secondary homes, investment properties. I wanted a lender that was familiar with that kind of landscape going into a deal.
All right, so chronologically, realtor first, finance partner or mortgage company second. I assume you got pre-approved.
Yes.
Did you have a number that they gave you?
They did. Yeah.
Did you go over above that number?
I did go over. When you purchased?
Okay.
I went over, and which is surprising because they tell you
this
is the max. This is what we'll give you.
But if you found something maybe then that was key, we'll dig into that in a minute. But yeah. You know, maybe you went a little higher. Okay, so you went a little higher. So at some point, what did you do to clean up your credit? What did you do to, did you make sacrifices to make this happen?
Yes.
I know I'm asking tough questions, and I really appreciate you being transparent, but.
Yeah, so I had a pretty clean credit record from the start. I mean, my parents taught me early on, credit is a very important thing that you will use later in life. So I started off think in high school I got my first credit card, and just slowly, I didn't spend a lot on it, but I would have that constant flux of income, make sure I paid it off in full every month, mm-hmm. didn't get behind on a payment, to build up that good credit rating, not have any dings, and I knew that would help me out further down the line,
right?
Which it did. The mortgage process went very smoothly from that standpoint.
Okay. All right. How about some other items? What other debt did you have? Do you have a vehicle? Do you have any other, you know, outstanding, you know, items? You know, because they always talk about that term debt to income ratio.
Right.
So if you've got a $300,000 Lamborghini, you know, that's, you know,
it's not a good look. That's not a good look. Well,
if you own it, great. But if you have a loan against it, the more expensive car. So anyway, I'm just saying, did you have other items in addition? You know, obviously you had rent, you had a credit card, you had some other things, cars, other expenses, anything like that you had loans against?
So I own my car outright. I didn't have a payment on that, but I do have student loans from college.
Right.
And that was the largest liability that was pointed out to me.
Okay.
But other than that, nothing major.
Okay, great. Okay, so now let's dig into search. So now at some point you've got your financing squared away. They gave you a number. How did you begin to search, and how did you integrate your agent or your friend's family? Did you share properties with them, or did you wait until you were farther down and then you shared, like, hey, I really like this one and now I'm serious and here's one? Or what apps did you use? What websites did you use?
Each day I would get a list of properties regarding those certain keywords, and I could go in and like them or hide them, and my agent could then see that activity on his end and would reach out and be like, hey, do you have any more questions? And if I was interested in the property, I would send him a message, be like, hey, can we do a walkthrough of this property? Can you get in touch with the agent so we can go, whether they have an open house or they can just let us in through lockbox.
Did you narrow down your search to an area? Like, did you have a map area that you were really targeting, and did you end up in that map area?
Yes. Yeah. So I had boundaries set, and I would stray a little bit, but for the majority of the time, the price points in those areas were quite different from the more higher end areas, and I was quite limited just with my budget.
Okay.
But yes, I did have a boundary that I was looking at.
Okay. So, all right. So did you drive by the home before you even told your realtor, hey, I want to look at this? Did you pull up Google Street View? Did you do, like, what was your process when you had one that you liked?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah, I would go, jump in my car, drive past it, Google Maps, do the Street View, look at the area, if there were schools around, hospitals, if it was a good part of town, good restaurants, a lot of people saying good things about the neighborhood, all those sorts of things, because I really wanted an area that people want to live in.
Right.
You don't want to buy in a non-desirable neighborhood, especially when you're trying to get tenants to fill that unit.
Right.
So yeah, I would do my research whenever I came across a property that looked interesting.
All right. So when did you start searching? How long ago? Or how long searching till you found your property?
I would say it's almost a year and a half to 2 years ago. I've been looking for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were searching and actively searching for a long time.
Yes.
All the while you were pre-approved, all the while you were saving more and more.
Correct.
Were you saving more and more as well?
Yes, I was.
So at some point as you saved more, did your price point then inch up a little bit as well? Or
slightly
just took the stress off?
Yeah, slightly. I had a number from my family that was going in on the deal with me saying, okay, we have this much as a down payment. Right. So I had an idea, like rough ballpark of what price point we could hit.
Great. Okay. All right. So then tell me about rental, cash flow projections, strategy prior to even purchasing? Like, did you have that discussion with your realtor?
Yeah, I did. So he told me he has properties himself. So he has a process that he goes through when he analyzes a deal. He has calculators. And even with me being part of this community, they have tools that you can use to project rental income. I mean, you can even look at sites like Zillow, apartments.com, even Craigslist and Facebook. Like, you can see rentals in the area and how much they charge.
Right.
So I was looking at that whenever deals would come in. I'm like, okay, this property is in this neighborhood, and I see all these properties that are for rent here.
Correct. From this to this range. Yep.
And in a similar price point, square footage, bedroom to bathroom ratio. So I could see what cash flow I would be projected if I were to chase that deal.
All right. Perfect. All right. So then tell us about the one. The one came along. Tell us about the property you actually purchased.
Yeah.
What's that story? How did it happen?
Yeah. Actually, funnily enough, it wasn't one of the properties that got sent to me from the search alert.
Oh my
goodness.
It was
something I found on my own on Zillow.
Okay.
It had popped up the same day, like the morning of, and I just happened to come across it. And like I said, it's a multifamily duplex, exactly what I was looking for in a very desirable neighborhood that I knew appreciation-wise has gone up over the past, I don't know, 30 years or so, and hopefully continues to rise.
Okay.
So I threw that in my calculator, ran the numbers quickly just to see if it would pan out. It did. It checked off all my boxes. So I dug into it a little bit more, reached out to my agent. I'm like, hey, this looks like a good deal. I'm running these numbers. Am I crazy or is this working? And he came back to me and said, you're not wrong. Like, this looks like a really good deal. I don't know how I didn't see this pop up. So I think the next day I told him I wanted to go walk the property, and he got connected with the agent. We went and walked the property 2 days after it hit the MLS. And there were other people there. There were other buyers looking interested, even with that, in that short of a time period, which is just seemed crazy to me. I'm like, it's only been on the market for 2 days.
That's been our last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, when you have, if a property is priced right, it's in great condition, you know, it seems like that's a typical scenario. So, all right. So you said you decided, you sent it to family, shared it with family. They were excited. So you wrote the offer. Tell me a little bit about when did you write the offer? How many days? Second day? Third day?
So the offer that was,
walk the property in the morning, go write the offer immediately. How'd you do that?
Yeah. So I went and walked the property, like I said, 2 days after. My agent's like, all right, let me know if you're interested. We're going to need to put in an offer quick because there's a lot of interest. So I'm like, okay, let me sleep on it. I'll let you know in the morning. So I woke up the next morning. I'm like, yeah, still like it. Let's throw in an offer. So I put in an offer, full asking price.
Okay.
And within I put a shorter duration on it too. It wasn't the typical time period. I needed an answer by end of day.
Okay. Were there other offers at the same time, or they just took your offer? I mean, meaning, were there multiple offers?
Yeah.
Any other?
Yes. Okay. So later in the day, I checked in with my agent, and he let me know that there was an all cash buyer asking just under what the list price was, as well as a offer over asking, but dependent on contingencies. So the agent was very interested in mine and said they would let us know as soon as possible. So I was up against two other buyers at that point.
Gotcha. But both of them had things that made yours probably the best offer because it was full price and no contingencies, right?
Right.
So, all right. So how long till you got your acceptance?
It was that same day at 10 p.m.
Okay, so you got it accepted.
Yes.
All right. Then you, obviously, you have to go through, okay, the the inspection process, the, you know, you're wiring funds, the rest of the mortgage process. So yeah, you were pre-approved, but then there was that process, the title process, closing. So any big things come up in the inspection process, or what was that experience like, and how did your agent handle it?
Yeah, so part of my offer was a shorter inspection period. Typical is 10 days. We put in for 7. Okay. So as soon as our offer was accepted, we got on the phone, started making calls, getting those inspectors out there, plumbers, just checking the property to make sure everything was spick and span. And our inspection did pull up some things, nothing major, minor cosmetic repairs. And once we got that done, I put in a request to repair at the 7-day mark. So okay. I threw in, I think there was a handful of things. I mean, minor concrete slab in the carport needed patched, couple of weird electrical wiring things, and okay. one of the stovetop burners wasn't working.
Okay.
And the buyer or seller came back and said, yep, sounds good. We'll make all those repairs and let you know before closing.
Okay. All right. So, So closing went okay. Do you have a mobile notary? Do you have to go to them? They come to you. What was the process like?
Yeah.
Title company good?
The title company was one that was referred by my agent that he had worked with in the past.
Right.
And they sent out a mobile notary to my house.
Okay.
A couple of days before closing, once mortgage and funding was approved, all the financing stuff, which takes the longest.
Right.
Once that was all done, they sent out the mobile notary, came to my house after work, signed all the papers 2 days before closing, and was ready to go after that.
Okay. All right. So here it is. You moved in. You happy?
I am. I'm glad that process is over. It's a long one and it's stressful, but it's very worth it once the papers are signed, you have the keys in your hand, and you can call that property yours.
Okay. All right. And you're working through right now, you have a current tenant, I think you said, in the other unit right now, but that is coming up. Its lease is coming up.
Yes.
What are your plans after that lease does come up?
Yeah, so my plan right now is to midterm rent one of the units, which when I purchased the property, one unit was vacant, the other one with a tenant in place. So I'm going to midterm rent the unit to traveling nurses, corporate professionals, different people that travel on contract basis. So typically 3 to 6 month leases.
Okay.
So that's my plan to have the other unit bring in some sort of income to supplement my mortgage.
Okay. All right. So midterm leases instead of long-term, like a year right. or 6 months, right?
Right. Okay. There's a little bit right. more money to be had in that space.
Okay. All right. And how are you marketing that? How are you, is this part of this website that you were part of, the community where it helps you find those types of renters?
Midterm so, renters? Not through that community specifically, but a lot of people on there have a lot of knowledge in that space. So they've referred me to different sites. Like there's Furnished Finder, Airbnb, Vrbo. They all do longer term stays as well as vacation. Obviously, they're a bit more focused towards the vacation space,
right.
but you can book longer stays on there as well.
Okay. All right. So overall, I guess my takeaway here in your story to the real estate community is 2.5 year process, start to finish. When did you meet your realtor in the process?
I met him probably a year in once I decided, okay, like
once
I'm going
to
go ahead and
search.
Do this. Right.
So it was really once you started to search.
Yes.
But I guess my takeaway, I want to commend your realtor. It's a year and a half search.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be safe to say, are you happy with your realtor? Would you use them again? Would you recommend them to a friend?
100%. Yeah, he's been great throughout every step of the process.
Okay, so if you purchased another property, would you use your realtor again?
Yes,
you
I would.
Okay, so that year and a half is paying off for your realtor.
Yes.
And I just commend him on his patience because, you know, not everybody purchases in a week, not everybody purchases in a month. And were there any moments during the search when you got discouraged? And you said, did you ever call him up and say, I'm going to sit out for a while and maybe I'll do this a couple years from now?
Yes,
You did?
I had those
Okay. All
moments,
right.
especially once COVID kind of slowed down a bit, interest rates started rising. I saw that kind of as a, okay, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. Like, I'm going to step back, take some time, save up some more money. But eventually, I just kept seeing people saying, like, if you don't get in now, like, prices are just going to keep going up.
Right.
And don't be fearful, even though everyone's saying there's going to be a crash soon, or rates are going to plummet in the next year. Like Rich always says, he says, marry the house, date the rate.
Right.
And that's kind of the mentality I had going into it. If I really liked a property, the numbers worked, there's always the option later down the line when rates do drop to
To
refinance,
refinance.
versus if you don't do anything now, maybe prices keep going up. Same with rates, and then you're out of it long haul.
Right.
So that's kind of the mentality I was brought in to believe is, all right, I need to get something done now. I have the backing of my family. They still want to do this.
Right.
I know I have all the tools with me. My agent will help me in this process. So I just went after it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So, got a couple other questions for you. What scared you the most throughout the process?
I would say just the risk you're taking on. I mean, you hear about like the big crash in 08, like people losing their houses, foreclosures. I mean, this is a lot of money that you're dealing with and tying up. So I think it's just having a solid plan, having an exit strategy if things don't work out the way you think they will. Having a couple ways you can make money if one way isn't working. And that's what I would say was the most scary part, is just the sum of money. Like, this is by far my largest purchase in my life. And you just have to weather that storm and be confident that you know things will work out, or you did the research and ran the numbers correctly, that if you hold out, things will all continue.
So, who out of all the people in your sphere helped you most with that fear and that mindset? Meaning, it is the biggest purchase most people ever make unless they own a business.
Right.
And it's the longest term. You know, it's typically, by the way, 30 year.
Yes,
Is that
30
right?
year.
30 year. So, it's a
Yep.
long term purchase. So, it's scary.
Yeah,
The
very.
contract. Did the contract scare
Yes. It's a lot of words and a
And.
lot of signing of papers.
And every time you do your signature, it gets a little bit more fearful, right? Or
Yes.
even while you're signing it, right?
100%.
No, but back to the question, who helped you the most with that fear or with everything you just described?
I would say it was a combination of both my agent and the community I'm a part of. Like, there's a lot of people in the same shoes as you. And if you ask a question, a lot of people will respond and, I mean, basically validate what you're thinking. Like,
Right.
you're always going to have your doubts, but there's a lot of people out there that are gunning for you. And especially my agent, like, he knew I could succeed. He saw that I was knowledgeable in that sphere.
Right.
And with his experience, he thought I could do well.
What did you like most? What did you like least about the process?
I'm a very technical person when it comes to like numbers and analyzing things. So I would say my favorite part of the process was finding these properties and running the numbers, punching in the purchase price, what the mortgage amount's going to be, what kind of cash flow can I get from this process. So I found that to be the most enjoyable. And when you're punching on all these numbers, I mean, I probably ran 50 plus properties, like going through
Right.
being like, nope, this one's not going to work. I'd be in the hole. I'd be paying more than what is coming in from that property. So I got a lot of practice doing those calculator reports. So that was really interesting to me.
And mind you, your day-to-day job, you are not a realtor. You are not an investor. I mean,
not at all.
You know, right. You have another expertise. So I just wanted everyone to know that. So I commend you for your mindset. This is phenomenal.
Thank you.
And my hope is there's many more out there like you. And that's what I want the realtor community to know, to not let age be a barrier, number one, and also not let what's going on in our current economy with buyers. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it takes time, but we are here to serve our clients. And you had the desire to buy and to purchase and own, and someone helped you with that. They served you. And so that's kind of what I love about this podcast and about sharing that. So what would you say, wait a minute, real quick, what was the thing you hated the most?
The financing side of it, just having to pull all that paperwork together, send it out, and you have no idea if they're going to come back and say, you're approved or you're denied.
Right.
It's just the fear of the unknown, right?
Okay. And even though you were pre-approved, did you have a little bit of that when you actually made your offer, you know, we're waiting on the full...
Yes.
You know, approval. I know for me, those last couple of days when you're waiting on that full clear to close, right?
Yep.
No matter what, you're always stressful.
Yeah. You're like, what are they going to find on my report this time? Like, I know it's clean, but what if something pops up?
Or just anything, you know, in general. So clear to close.
Exactly.
So that's what you like least. Okay, great. What would you say to the realtors that are listening right now?
I would say market towards what you know. So if you're very knowledgeable in the investment space or you deal better with first-time home buyers, go after that crowd of people. And that's how my agent captured me and brought me in. He explained what he had worked with in the past and what he does well. And if you express that, I think anyone searching that out is not going to have a hard time finding you and trusting you in the process, since you've gone through it before and you're more knowledgeable than them, and you can both build off each other and work with each other's strengths.
Right. That's awesome. Okay, so what would you say to your age group, your peers, or to those that are renting?
I would say look at your market and see what kind of deals are out there. You don't have to be looking to buy something, but just take a look, see what prices are like, if rents are increasing higher than interest rates, things along those lines. Because, yeah, rent is 100% interest. It goes away as soon as you send it to your landlord. What if you became the landlord? And you don't have to become a landlord. You can just look at a first-time home purchase.
Well, your story does go like, okay, I commend you for doing the duplex route and for having that mindset, and also for your long-term vision. You know, I'm anxious to watch you over the next couple of years and watch what happens. I hope we'll stay in touch and,
of course,
you know, watch what you continue to do. But even if it was a single property, not a duplex, a single-family home, buyers can still do what you did. They can still involve their family. They can still have that, you know, 90%, 10%, or whatever it might be, 80%, 20% even, you know, investment, and still be doing better than renting.
Yeah.
When 100% of your money, you're building equity and wealth for someone else.
Yeah. Right? And you could even get roommates and they can help you pay your mortgage.
Right.
I mean, you don't need two units. You can still do it.
Right.
It just comes down to your comfortability level.
Right.
Do you want roommates or do you want your own space?
Right.
So, and also purchase price and what kind of property types are in your neighborhoods.
Right. This is a phenomenal story. I really appreciate you being on. You know, I think that, you know, when I look at the data and look at the statistics, the younger generation, they don't own the percentage of owners is lower than from my generation being older than you. More of my generation owned earlier, more of my generation owns now.
Right.
There's always some discussion about the younger generation and are they sitting on the sidelines? Are they purposefully, do they not want to own? Do they not care? And I think you give an interesting perspective on there are younger buyers out there that have learned what you learn and they're trying to buy.
Yeah,
They're trying to
100%.
buy.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the chance to share my story with you. It's
No, I really
been fun.
appreciate you. I appreciate you doing that too. So is there anything I missed in the story? Anything in the, start to finish or anything that you would want to add?
I think we touched on just about all of it. One thing I would like to say is if you're looking at this in a similar scope that I am, like this is your first deal out of many, I would say get started building your network sooner rather than later. Get an inspector, get your agent, get a good mortgage company that you can work with long term, handymen, contractors. You want to build a team that will be there to support you and help you succeed in your real estate venture. And you don't want to be scrambling last minute to find someone if, say, your tenant calls you in the middle of the night saying there's a water leak or the toilet's clogged. Like,
Right.
you want those people you can count on to be there when you need them most versus finding the first person that pops up on the Google search if you need
Right.
a plumber. So
Right.
I'd say build your team earlier rather than later.
Well, speaking of that, do you have a property management company working with you on the rental aspect?
I do not. I am actually self-managing
You're going to
my first
self-manage.
property, and
Okay.
further down the line, that is an option that I might take.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, there you have it, agents. What a great story. And I commend the agent, commend the mortgage company that worked with this individual for the 2.5 years or the year and a half. And I'm so proud of you, happy for you.
Thank you.
Hope we stay in touch. And that's our episode here today. So, the real estate podcast, again. I always bring it back to serving, helping our customers, helping them with their goals. And that's what this team of individuals actually did. This young person wanted to purchase, wanted to own. And we, as a community, basically your team served you and helped you purchase. So love that. So thank you for being here again with us today. Thank
Yeah.
you all. So I hope you'll join us back on future episodes. We hope to have some more other anonymous home buyer stories coming up. I do have a couple scheduled, Young Home Buyers Anonymous. I also am going to interview some older home buyers down the road talking about even things like new builds versus purchasing existing property. So be on the lookout for those future episodes here on the podcast. Thank you all for joining us. If you have any questions or would like to get in contact with us, please send an email to info@therealestate.com or excuse me, at the real, what is it? Therealestate@homesmart.com. I apologize. Let me say that again. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, please email us at therealestate@homesmart.com, and that will get to the podcast team, and we will connect you with whatever type of information that you're looking for. Again, thank you all for joining us today. I'm Todd Sumney. I'll see you back on future episodes of The Real Estate. Thank you.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.